Welcome to Creative Minds Smart Money, the podcast where creativity and business smarts collide. I'm your host, Samantha Eck, bookkeeper, business coach, and your go-to guide for building the creative business of your dreams. Whether it's mastering your money, streamlining your systems, or growing your business, I'm here to share insights that empower you to thrive. Plus, I'll be bringing in industry experts to dive into all aspects of entrepreneurship, so you can turn your passion into profit without losing your creative spark. Let's get started. You're listening to the Creative Mind Smart Money podcast, and today I have special guest Jen Zellers. She equips established digital business owners with the tools to cultivate a sustainable stress-free marketing system that fuels business growth, generates sleaze-free sales, and positions them as thought leaders through speaking and collaborations. It's so great to have you today, Jen. How are you?
Thanks. I'm so glad to be here.
Awesome. Okay. Well, before we dive into all of that good stuff that we want to get to, how did you get into speaking and what made you realize it's such a powerful marketing tool?
Gosh, I've been speaking online for, I guess, 10 years now. That's weird to say, but I've been speaking on summits and podcasts for, about 10 years, and I've been hosting my own summits and that kind of thing for at least 5 now. So yeah, it's just kind of grown. And through the other side of my business, Virtual Summit Search, I've ended up working with a lot of speakers, and that ended up just sprouting into Visibility Ecosystem and helping folks learn how to do more with their speaking opportunities.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I feel like speaking and visibility is just such a big thing lately that it's so important to have someone as a resource for that. So not every stage, whether it's a podcast, a summit, or even like some sort of panel, is really the right fit for everyone. So how can business owners identify what the best speaking opportunities are for the goals that they have?
That is a great question, because that is definitely something I see come up a lot, is folks are like, oh, it doesn't work. And my response to that is, okay, but what goals did you set? And did you check out the red flags or the green flags before you got started? So I usually work with my clients to figure out, what goals do you have for right now? Sometimes you may be focusing more on building authority and making connections with the host and people that find you through that speaking opportunity. Or if you're on a summit where there are other speakers, making connections with those folks. Other times you may really need to get more leads and sales. And so those are going to be potentially different speaking opportunities and collaborations. And so first off, making sure that you're setting the right goals, because if you're going on a smaller podcast, your results may start out small, but if it takes off, it can be a really long tail effect. Versus if you're going on to a summit and it's a successful summit with a history of doing well, and you know how many leads that speakers typically get from that, you can set different goals based on that. So there's stuff like that. There's also looking out for the red flags and the green flags. So the red flags would be things like, are they saying, oh, hey, I'd love to have you speak at this really generic summit on this really generic topic? And you're like, okay, how many other people have they pitched on this? And then maybe you reply back and say, all right, I'm interested in hearing more. And they go, great. Do you have 5,000, 7,000, 10,000 people on your email list? For me, that's always an immediate no. And as someone who's hosted summits, I always reply back and say, hey, just an FYI, as someone who's hosted 5 summits at this point, I found that the folks with the bigger lists actually tend to get worse results. So just a heads up, so that you know that. And that is why I'm declining, because I keep a very clean email list and all of that. So I always tell my clients, like, if you see those come through, you can just ignore them. Those yes. are usually a very immediate red flag. Green flags would be things like, do they have a speaker info page ready to go? Whether that's a summit or a podcast, a lot of podcasts now have a speaker info page of like, hey, here's what to expect as a guest and how to schedule and whatnot. So figuring out what your green flags and red flags are, and then making another green flag is, does this actually match your audience and your goals and your topics? And so being willing to say no to things is actually better. I would much rather, as a host, someone say, thank you, I really appreciate the opportunity, but I know that I'm not going to be the best fit for what you're looking for, and I need to be able to get the results and I just know it's not going to be a good fit, than have someone say yes and then not promote it, or do just like show up, pop their presentation in, and then ghost after that. So
yeah,
be okay saying no and keep an eye out for those flags.
Yes. Yeah. And I love that you said that, because actually I recently applied for a collaboration event where they're like, oh, you have to have 1,000+ people on your email list. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I think, first of all, I was like, I think it'd take me a long time to get to 1,000 people, because I want people who are actively engaging in my list and things like that. And like, you know, I go through my list monthly to clean up people who aren't active. So I was like, well, I don't know if that's a collaboration I'm necessarily interested in, because just because I have 1,000 people on my list doesn't mean there are 1,000 people that are actually wanting to be on my list. Mm-hmm. They could be completely ignoring my email. So,
and it is okay in those situations to reply back, especially if it's a relative, like I find 1,000 to be relatively reasonable. If other than that, it seems like a good fit, and it seems like they're not putting the emphasis on those numbers, because a lot of those ones were like, you need 5,000, 10,000 people on your list. They'll be like, or you can pay us $100, $250, and you can be a guest speaker, and you still have to do all of this promotion, but you barely get feet. And like,
yeah.
But if it's one where it just seems like they're trying to make sure that it's an even playing field and that everybody has an audience, you can respond back and say, hey, just FYI, I don't technically meet that requirement, but here's why. I keep a clean list. These are my open rates. These are my click rates. And as a host, I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I want that. I want someone who has a clean list where they're actually, if you have 500 people on your list and 200 of them sign up, way better than someone with 1,000 person list where they get a 1% click rate and even fewer conversions.
Yes. And I love that you like talked about the click rate and the open rate, because I feel like that's definitely more important than just a number, giving a number. So what, I know you already touched on this a little bit, but what are some red flags that an opportunity really just might not be worth the time and effort?
One of the ones that I always have folks look for is, did they do their research? So if someone is coming and pitching me and saying, hey, can you talk about Google Analytics? That was something I taught on, I don't know, like 6 years ago, and not something that I cover anymore. And so if that comes up, I know they found an ancient blog post and did not pay attention to the fact that that isn't active anymore and all that kind of stuff. If they're coming with a really generic pitch where it's clearly not something that they took the time to actually see if that's your specialty. If someone came to me and said, hey, I would love for you to teach about social media marketing. Okay, I can technically do that from the lens of creating a sustainable marketing system, because social media marketing assets are part of your visibility ecosystem. Like for our clients, if you go and do a speaking opportunity like this podcast episode, you can take that and turn it into 9 to 12 different social media marketing assets. But that's not my specialty. Versus if they said, hey, I'm doing a social media marketing summit, and I would love for you to talk about it from a sustainable marketing angle, then yeah, obviously they did their research. So it's little things like that, and just kind of doing a vibe check. If it feels like we already talked about, like they're putting the emphasis on numbers rather than the value that you are bringing as a speaker, because keep in mind, as much as a host, I'm putting a ton of effort into my summit, my podcast, anything like that. You're also bringing value as a speaker. Yeah. I know that it's your time, it's your effort. And without that, I'm either doing a solo podcast, which is fine, but it's really nice being able to bring on other people and get different perspectives and different topics. Or I don't have a summit. I'm not going to have a summit if it's just me. That's kind of the antithesis of that event. So just remember that you can say no if it seems like they're putting the emphasis on the numbers. And also, don't devalue yourself. I see a lot of people who are like, well, the host is putting in all the time, or going the other way and saying, well, you need to pay me at least $250 for this. You're both putting in value and you're both getting value out. So that's kind of some of the red flags that I would keep an eye out for. Is it a really, really imbalanced value? And like, are they getting way more out of this than you're getting out of this? And whether the vibes check out, and if they've done their research, are probably three of the big ones.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that. Because I feel like it's also really important that you stated that you can say no to an opportunity. And I think it's important to note that even like if you applied for that opportunity and you get further along the process and it starts to seem like it's not a good fit, there's still that opportunity to also say no, because you want, you know, that visibility to line up with what you're looking for as someone who's going to be putting yourself out there and adding that value to someone else's, I don't even like their visibility, because if you're on someone else's podcast, you're adding to their visibility as well as your visibility. So you want to also consider that factor.
Yeah. I mean, you can even go and do an entire podcast interview. And if the vibes feel really off during that, you can say, hey, I'm not totally comfortable with airing this. Do you mind cutting it from the content calendar? That's okay to ask that. And then if they refuse for some reason, then you don't share it. And you like, yeah, it's okay to get all the way down to the very last step and still say, maybe not.
Yes. Yes. Because I've seen so many people who talk about these interviews that they go on where it's basically just someone who's a podcast interviewer that is pitching to them. And I'm like, that's totally fine to say, you know what, I decided this isn't for me, because it's more important that you feel comfortable also advertising whatever is being put out there with your name on it.
Yeah, being associated with it can be a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Now, speaking of speaking, how can someone with little speaking experience start to land opportunities without feeling like some sort of imposter?
Yes. So as a summit host, I personally love giving new speakers a chance to shine, because a lot of the time they're more excited about the opportunity than somebody who's been speaking on 100 podcasts and done 15 summits already this year. So don't feel like just because you haven't spoken much or at all that you don't still have value. The main thing is going to be to communicate that value to the host. So whether it's through an application or if you're doing like I do for clients and putting together pitch emails and sending those out to the hosts, just make sure it's really, really customized to the host. Like when I was putting together your podcast tour, I made sure it was perfectly, absolutely tailored to every single one. No email was exactly the same. And just show how easy you're going to make it for them. If you're going and sending a pitch email and including a couple of sample questions that they could ask you and making sure that they know, like, here's the topic that I'm suggesting, but also you can go ahead and reach out if you'd like to talk about alternatives. Maybe they have somebody already in the content queue for the podcast that you don't know about and is similar to your topic, but you know that you have different angles that you can play with. So really, really customize your pitches and your applications and just be okay with being new. Like, you have to start somewhere. That's also why I tend to recommend for my clients to start with a podcast tour, because it is proactive. That is one thing with summits, is they may or may not repeat them. You don't know necessarily when they're coming. A lot of it is just being in the right place at the right time or knowing the right people. So the other thing is tell people that you want to speak. If people don't know that you want to speak, a lot of the time they're a little bit leery of recommending you, because there's so many people who, like we talked about, are setting the wrong goals and therefore think that it doesn't work, or various different reasons why they're like, no, I don't want to speak. So if they know that you want to, they can very wholeheartedly say, yes, you should go and bring on Jen, bring on Samantha.
Yes. And I do love that you mentioned that, you know, our podcast tour and how you did the emails for me, because I think that's so important. But I think it's really cool too that we can mention that you did the research and you found podcasts that were actually applicable. And I think that's another important step, is finding opportunities that are actually applicable to what you're doing. Because again, like we mentioned, not every podcast or summit or panel or whatever you're applying for is going to be the right fit. So you really need to do that research and make sure that whoever you're contacting is actually going to resonate with what you're trying to put out.
Yes. And that is definitely key.
Yes. So now, what makes a speaking topic not just interesting, but actually profitable for the speaker?
Yes. This is a great question. That's one another reason why people often think that speaking doesn't work, is because they don't have a profitable speaking topic. They say yes to whatever people are pitching them, or they go super, super generic. So I know when we had first talked, I forget exactly what you had told me your topic was, but we were able to go and get something that sounded really juicy and really exciting, because especially for your area of expertise, a lot of people think it's boring, but it's not.
Yes.
So if you can go and make sure that you're putting an angle on it that is intriguing and makes people go, oh, okay, I want to know more about that. The other thing is that it needs to tie back to an offer. I don't care which offer it is. You can have different topics that tie back to different offers, but it allows you to talk about your clients and use what we call the sleaze-free sales framework to be able to get people interested in what you do and what you offer. And that's what makes it profitable. Because if it doesn't tie back to something that brings in money, there's no story to tell about how that money is going to come in.
And I mean, I feel like that's so important what you're saying, like tying it back to an offer. Like you can still have like one solid offer. And in another podcast interview I was doing, so I was talking about like how they only had one offer, but they tie everything kind of back to that offer. So you can come at it from those different angles and really get into it. And yeah, like when we first started, I was just like, oh yeah, I'm just talking about numbers and things like that. But I know there's something more to it. It's just, you got to approach it in a different way.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to get creative with the audiences that you're targeting to, because maybe you work with photographers and so you're looking only for a podcast that speaks specifically to photographers, but you can expand out into creative entrepreneurs and other, like, just look for segments. The audience of that podcast needs to have a segment. The audience of that summit needs to have a segment that includes your audience. It might be a part of their audience equals a part of your audience, or it might be a part of their audience is your entire audience. As long as there is overlap, that's fine. That is how you can go. I've had people who are like, oh no, I can't do a podcast tour because I've run out of podcasts. Have you though? Or have you run out of really, really, really specific podcasts? And we can start broadening that net because you've established yourself inside of that specific niche.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's so true. And then, like, you know, how we're talking about, like, me, we had such a broad net with creative entrepreneurs, and then we kind of narrowed it down. Like, one of the podcasts that Jen found for me was a calligraphy podcast, and it's so niche, but, like, I have an interview with them coming up in March, and, like, it's a perfect opportunity, because who knows how many calligraphers need a bookkeeper, but we didn't just stay at creative entrepreneurs. We went down and we talked about to more niche people within the creative entrepreneur space, which is so important.
As long as there's that overlap, you're good to go.
Yes. Yes. So how do you balance sharing value pack insights while also positioning yourself for future opportunities or sales?
Yes, this is a great question. So this comes back to a little mini framework that I have, which is don't give them what they need. Which I know sounds completely backwards to everything that you've probably been told, but you actually don't want to give them what they need. You know that they need bookkeeping. What they think that they need is something completely different. And so that is where getting that creative angle will actually help you a lot, because people may not tune into something that is like, learn how to do your books better on a podcast or a summit. But if you go and say, what story do your numbers tell? Okay, we're not just sitting here thinking, okay, so I'm gonna have to do math and I hate doing my books. Maybe I'll tune in later. They never do, by the way, they never tune in later. So you need to make it really juicy and intriguing enough so that they will actually tune in. And so if you can go and work backwards from what you know that they need, figure out what they think that they need, start with that. Give them what they want, and then through your presentation or through your interview, shift it to what you know that they need. And so that way, you're not necessarily giving them the how, but you are getting them ready for that. And so then, that's also how you make it profitable. You get them ready for that how, and then you give them the how through a freebie, which is just part of the how, and then you can move them up to a paid offer.
Yes, I love that. I love that. And what is the process for crafting a talk that resonates with both the audience that you're pitching to and then the potential clients as well?
So I mean, potential clients are in the audience, so it's really the same people. But it really, again, comes back to that. So you want to give them what they want, not what they need, but lead them to what they need by the end. And make sure to incorporate, like I said, what we call your sleaze-free sales framework. And there's different layers to that, but it includes talking about how you work with people. So you're not going, especially if you're on, say, a summit, where most of the time you're not allowed to pitch. So you have to be really careful. And that is actually where my sleaze-free sales framework came from, because I was like, okay, I need to actually make money though, but I can't go and say, you should buy a No Fuss podcast tour.
Yes.
So you go and you seed in the different ways that you work with clients, and you help people see what it's like to work with you. And there's different ways to do that without being gross and slimy, which is why it's the sleaze-free part of that framework. Because we've all been on those podcasts or those webinars or those summits where it ends up just being a pitch fest. Like you said, it's someone goes on an interview for a podcast and the host or the guest is literally just pitching the whole time, taking everything that you say and turning it into a pitch. So we don't want to do that, but you can do it in a non-gross way if you are weaving it into your presentation. And so that's how we always do it, is we work backwards from where do you want them to go after, how do we get them to that endpoint at the end of your presentation, and then working backwards from there.
Yes. And I love that you said, like, you know, your potential clients are also the audience, because I think it's important. Like, yes, you might be going to a summit and it's a perfect fit for you, and you might be thinking, okay, well, some of these people aren't going to be a perfect fit for me, but in the end, they could be. They could be a potential client. You might not even know it. So instead of just thinking of that broader aspect, okay, so this is just someone else's audience, you want to think of that prospect that they are all potential clients. How do you talk to them in a way that's not, you know, that sleazy sense where you're also talking about what you offer, but not in a way that sounds pitchy or salesy?
Yeah. But I will say, if you're going in front of an audience where you don't have potential clients there, you're really going in as a favor to the host.
Yes.
Because the only other way that you're going to make money if those folks are not currently potential clients is if they know somebody who is, or they become that potential client down the road and find you again. If they're otherwise, which it's totally fine to do that. You can absolutely go in and say, hey, I love you. Like, I've done that. I have someone who, I don't typically work with folks who are product-based businesses.
Yeah.
Our sleaze-free sales framework's better for folks who have like courses or memberships, or they coach or something online where it's a digital service or offer. But I know someone who has a direct seller membership, and I've been around that world in the past. And so, like, I know that my stuff can still work for them. So I knew that I probably was not going to get clients, but I was like, you know what? It's okay. I would just like to offer value. It's an hour of my time. I can do that. So it's okay to do that, but don't do too many of those, or else you're going to be just giving away your time all the time.
Yes, and your time is so valuable. So how does speaking plant seeds for like long-term business growth rather than just being some sort of one-and-done event?
Yes, I love this question, because there are so many ways that you can do this, and this is where your visibility ecosystem springs from. Like, this is where we came up with this, is because if you are in a podcast, if you're on a summit, if you're doing any kind of collaboration, especially if there's video or audio, you can turn that into so many different marketing assets. You're going to be bringing in leads and hopefully sales, whether it's immediately or down the road. So one podcast episode can do so much for you. Again, this is why we always start with the podcast tour, because it's just a springboard for so much. So say we come off of this, and I could take video or the audio from this, turn it into 3 reels or TikToks or their short form videos, whatever, 3 carousel posts, 3 graphic quote posts, and maybe I go and I do 3 short LinkedIn posts or threads. Those all then showcase me as a speaker, and it shows hosts that I'm promoting the episode. And I am not the best at doing this, because I do it all day for my clients. And so it's one of those cobbler's kids situations where the cobbler's kids have no shoes, because you're always doing it for other people. Yes. But again, this is what we do for clients, is go and turn that podcast episode into those 9 to 12 different assets. But you can also go and
take something that you said in that podcast episode, turn, like, just expand that, turn it into a blog. You can take pieces yes. out of it, turn it into an email. And I don't just mean an email, like one of those short little snippets that's, hey, I was just on Creative Mind Smart Money. You should listen in, click this button. No, no. Do like you do with the blog post. It doesn't have to be as long, but pull a piece out, expand on that a little bit, and say, if you want the rest, come and listen. And you can do that on LinkedIn, whatever platforms that you're marketing. That one piece turns into so much more, and you make those evergreen. And so that way you have, say you do 5 podcasts a quarter, that's 20 podcasts a year. If those 20 podcasts even just have 10 pieces of content made out of them for social media, say, that's 200 yeah. posts from 1 year of podcasts. If you do that for 3 years straight, like, you could post multiple times a day with different podcasts, yes. mix them all up. Like, you will never run out of stuff to post. And I promise, if you're posting something that you appeared on a year or two ago, nobody's going to remember. Or if they do, they're like, oh yeah, that was a good episode. I should go listen to that.
Yes. No, and I love that, because I feel like, you know, a lot of people just think, okay, I'm just going to go on this podcast interview and then be done with it. And in the past, you know, I have had people who have never utilized, like, the resources that I've given them, like, you know, when we give them the full podcast and everything like that. But the thing I think that a lot of people don't tend to understand is when we do interviews, it's not just for the podcast host. It's also for you. And it's a great opportunity for you to share your expertise to certain audiences, but then also utilize that to share with your audience in different ways. You can take a snippet of your voice. You can take how you said a certain thing. You're like, wow, I can't believe I said it that way. And utilize it in your marketing. And it's the best way to do that.
Yep. And it attracts more of those speaking opportunities. The more that you're out there promoting speaking opportunities you've already done, whether, like, even if it's a summit that's over and they didn't evergreen it, like, that's something I always do with mine, is make them evergreen so my host can keep promoting them if they want to and I can promote them. But even if it's not, it's still showcasing you as a speaker, and people are going to go, oh wow, if they're still promoting this and, like, sharing what they've done,
yeah,
I really want them on my podcast. I want them on my summit, because a lot of people, like you said, don't use those resources. They don't promote it. So you're going to start getting more of those inbound invites. And eventually, you don't have to go on podcast tours, because your content calendar is full of inbound invites instead of outbound outreach.
Yes. Yes. Now, I think you kind of already answered this, but what's the best way to turn a single speaking gig into multiple opportunities or even long-term client relationships?
Yeah. So, yeah, I already covered a big part of the visibility ecosystem approach with turning it into different stuff. So that's where, when we're working with clients on it, say, okay, what platforms are you active on? And you get specific on what pieces of content are going to be most helpful there. So, like, for me, if I'm not active on Instagram, which I'm really not, then maybe I'm not doing the post for that. Or maybe I've got a 9 grid up and I'm doing stories. So instead of doing, like, graphic quotes, we turn those into stories instead. So it's making sure that you're customizing it to where you're active and not forcing yourself to be on platforms that you don't want to be. But for the relationship side, that is another great question, because that is something that a lot of people miss. And I'll be honest, I also sometimes miss it. But again, just for me, cobbler's kid syndrome. For other folks, maybe you just don't have a system. And so if you set up a system, it doesn't have to be super complicated, but just make sure that you are able to automatically remind yourself to follow up. So yeah. In our visibility ecosystem hub that we set up for clients, we have automations in there. And so what it'll do is, say I'm doing pitches, it will automatically remind you, hey, tomorrow, don't forget to follow up with Creative Mind Smart Money. Or if you've already been on a podcast, you can set it to automatically say, hey, it's been 6 months. Don't forget to check in with Samantha and just say hi. And so that way you can help yourself to maintain these relationships. And you'd be surprised how many times that you're like, hey, I just want to check in, see what's going on. Is there anything I can signal boost for you on social or in my emails or whatever? And they go, actually, I do have a launch coming up. I would love to give you an affiliate link for that. Or, actually, I have a summit coming up. I'm so glad you reached out. Do you want to be in it? And then makes it easy for them. They don't have to really pitch you. And so, yeah, if you just make it easy for yourself with those relationships, even beyond going and creating all the marketing assets, that can take you a long way too.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned that. I think it's so important because I think on Threads, we had talked about it at one point where we're like, we wish that there was more of a relationship after podcast interviews. And I think that's so important because, again, a lot of the times it's an interview and then you never hear from that person again. And I'm like, you're such a cool person. Like, you reached out to me for a reason. You wanted to be on my podcast episode. How do we like continue that relationship? How do we keep getting to know each other? How do we help each other out? Because, you know, you're getting, not only are you interviewing each other during the podcast, but you're also getting to know that person. So it's more beneficial for you to utilize now that relationship to grow on it and help them grow, help yourself grow, everything like that, because you've started a relationship. Why not keep the momentum going?
Yep. It's so true. And it's something that will also make you stand out because, like you said, 95% of the time it doesn't happen. People aren't following up. And it's not because we don't want to, it's because we forget. So make it easy on yourself to not forget.
Yes. And I think that's so important. I'm going to immediately do that today too, because I'm going to go set up a system to make sure that I do that too. Because you're right. It's just a forgetting thing. You go on a podcast episode and then 6 months down the road, you're like, oh yeah, I was on that episode. When it comes out, you're like, maybe I should talk to this person again instead of just ignoring them.
Yeah. And I also don't, I've seen people who are like, oh yeah, I just automatically schedule an email in my Google Workspace inbox to send an email after 6 months. But that's not, I don't recommend that. The reason I recommend sending a reminder to yourself is because what if they go and they reach out to you and say, hey, I would love to have you on a summit, and it's 5 months after the podcast interview. And then you send them an email in 6 months after the podcast interview. So 1 month later going, hey, what's up? Anything I can help? And they're like, what is happening?
Yes, because you'd forget about the scheduled email. That's exactly right. So for someone who wants to start using speaking as a marketing strategy, what's the first step that they should take today?
Like I've said, I always recommend doing a podcast tour first because it is the most proactive way to get started. Podcasts are a lot easier to, I hate using the word target, but they're easier to target because they're ongoing typically. Maybe they do seasons and they're on a hiatus. That's fine. But if a podcast is ongoing versus a summit, which is a one-time event, and maybe they're repeating it, but you don't know if they're going to, then it's going to be a lot easier to find the podcasts that are a good fit. And then, like I said, though, as you share those more and more, the summit hosts are going to start reaching out. The people who have group programs or memberships and are looking for guest experts, and maybe they even pay, are going to start seeing you and reaching out and asking you to come and speak on their platforms. So podcast tours are always where I start my clients.
Awesome. And that's such good advice. And if you guys are looking for a quality podcast tour, definitely check out Jen. But where can my audience connect with you, book you, or just learn more about working with you?
Yeah, you can just check out visibilityecosystem.com, and I'm at Visibility Ecosystem on Threads. That's pretty much the only place I'm active, though. I'm starting on LinkedIn finally. So yeah, I mean, it's best place to find me is over there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on to today, Jen. I really appreciate it. And I think this is so valuable. I really appreciate you taking the time to just give your expertise. And yeah, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's a wrap on today's episode. I hope this conversation gave you the confidence to step into the world of speaking with strategy and intention. Remember, the right opportunities can open doors to visibility, credibility, and long-term business growth when chosen wisely. If you found this episode helpful, share it with a fellow entrepreneur who's looking to grow their brand through speaking. And if you haven't already, leave a review. It helps more creative business owners like you discover these insights and take action. Want to connect with today's guest or learn more? Check out the show notes for all the details. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next time for more money and business wisdom. Farewell, fellow travelers.